careers in veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
For various incantations of folk, acoustic, and Americana, join me every other Saturday, the first and third of every month. My name is Mia. I'm host of Folk in A Minor, right here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Hi, this is Lady J of Smooth Grooves Jazz. I'm on every Friday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. And from my family to yours, happy holidays.
Ranger Station.
Hi, I want to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My front door. It was Smokey Bear. My husband was burning leaves in the yard. He just came inside for a second.
Never leave a fire unattended. If it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Smokey said that too.
We go way back. I knew him when he was just a cub.
How cute.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Cold steel, rough concrete, tough plastic, synthetics. Today's world is enough to make us lose our real sense of touch and feel hundreds of miles away from nature. Luckily, that's not the case. There are places all around where you can get in touch with nature, at the National Wildlife Refuges. Here you can experience the warm, inviting touch of nature at every turn. Feel the smooth, gentle bark of a white birch tree on your fingertips. Walk barefoot on the smooth, water-worn river stones. Feel the soft moss lining a towering wall of limestone. When you feel these things, you're feeling the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. Now, before we get started today with our guests, it has come to my attention that there's a new TV show in the works. And they're looking for people with UFO and abduction-related experiences to interview. Let me just read a short paragraph from the show's producer, Lauren James. It says, have you witnessed something truly extraterrestrial? We're seeking subjects for the first season of the new TV show for a leading U.S. cable network. If you live in the USA and have had an extraterrestrial encounter, seen a UFO, been abducted, or witnessed something that has no rational terrestrial explanation, then please email us email us at encounters@hotmail.co.uk. That's encounters@hotmail.co.uk. Says that this is your chance to have our experts help explore your experiences and bring that experience to a wider audience. And that's from Lauren James. And you can check out more on this at their website at www.raw.co.uk. So check that out in case you've had personal experience yourself. And so getting back to our guests. Well, it's time, folks. It's right around the corner. That long-awaited Mayan Grinch coming to steal Christmas and the rest of the holidays, and every other day for that matter. December 21st, 2012 is the last date on the Mayan's calendar. And many for centuries have construed this to mean the end of days, Armageddon, the return of their faith's deity, and countless other foreboding scenarios. So what, if anything, does all this all mean? Our guest today will give us his take on the meaning behind the myth. Joseph F. Mara is a doctor of nursing practice with an established practice at his urgent care center in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And Joe is also a hypnotherapist, a Reiki master, intuitive healer, and a spiritual counselor. Joe's teachings have been heard all over the globe through his Universal Radio talk show. But Joe has been fascinated with and has researched the 12-21-12 date all of his life. So I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Joseph Mara. Hello, Mr. Mara.
Hello. Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us. It is December 2012, just in case you're listening on the archives. This is the show that airs the first Tuesday in December. And you're a practicing nurse, is that
right? I'm a nurse practitioner. I practice family medicine. So when you come to see me, basically you would, if you didn't know any different, you would think that I was a family physician or MD, DO, but my title was DNP, Doctor of Nursing Practice.
Okay. So before we get into the heavy stuff here, tell me, how did a man of medical science get into the business of spirituality, UFOs, and that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a long story. I'm 40 years old now, but ever since I was little, I always wondered what made the world work, and the things that were explained to me never really made sense. And I was born and raised a Catholic, and some of the explanations that were given throughout my education with Catholicism didn't make sense to me. And
such as?
Well, for instance, if your religion tells you that if you're not a Catholic, then you're in the wrong religion, and therefore if you're in the wrong religion, you're going to go to hell.
Mm.
And it never made sense to me if there was a person on the other side of the planet, such as a baby that was just born, and they were unfortunate enough to be born in the wrong religion, that they were going to go to hell because they were in the wrong religion. And it just never made sense to me if there's a loving, forgiving God.
Mm. I got the same thing as Methodist, and as I grew up, I realized that all of the religions pretty much say the same thing.
Right.
You know? Mine is right, yours is wrong.
Exactly. You know? So then you look at the different religions in the world, and it sends you down a path of, okay, so why do we have so many different religions that believe in different aspects of this loving God?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that, you know, the deeper you go, the more you find that, well, this is really made to separate us and to make us focus on, you know, the differences, and therefore we're fighting amongst each other because of these differences.
Mm-hmm. All the wars that we've had pretty much are all over religion.
Yeah, in the name of God, and my God is better than your God, for therefore we're right, you're wrong, and it's okay for us to kill you because my God, we're fighting for our God.
Right.
Which never made sense to me.
Right. Yeah. Have you seen that movie? It's an old one, really, now. The Kingdom of Heaven?
I have not.
Okay. I forget who stars in it, so I'm not even going to attempt to. But it's called The Kingdom of Heaven. It's about the Crusades.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, and both sides are saying the same thing. You know, I'm right, you're wrong, and if you don't believe me, I'll kill you.
Exactly.
Well, so what can I say? So this is what got you started in this area. Mm-hmm. But that does not explain the UFO subject, the spirituality. Well, shall we say, ghosts, communication. Do you aspire to that? Do you subscribe to that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, here's the thing. Once you have personal experiences, you can't deny them anymore.
Right.
And so this is, since we're talking about religion here a little bit, my mother wants me to come back to my faith, in quotes.
Okay.
She wants me to come back to my religion. And it's akin to me believing, going back and believing in Santa Claus. Once I found out that that doesn't exist, I can't go back and believe in it. Mm-hmm. And my personal experiences have left me with a different reality, different understanding of the way the world works. And the further research you do, and it's all out there. It's just a matter of looking into various aspects of humanity. So the people that deny it or they're in denial themselves, they really haven't done the research or are open-minded enough to take a look at what's really out there, what the evidence is, or to look for it. Or they just haven't had personal experiences to confirm what other people are saying, which, in fact, I have had.
All right. Okay, so personal experiences as to spirituality, ghosts,
all communication? Of it. And it's all related. That's another thing that's part of this, the deception of on this planet for humanity. Mm-hmm. We compartmentalize everything, like the UFO phenomenon. The people that are in that genre don't want to add the Bigfoot connection to it. They're like, no,
right.
The UFOs are UFOs, Bigfoots are Bigfoots, and it's totally different, has no connection.
Mm-hmm.
The ghostly realm is also different. Mm-hmm. When really, when you take a look at the whole aspect of everything, it all somehow is related or connected in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I agree. And I used to feel that way, not interested in cryptozoology or Bigfoot, so to speak, because I was more into the UFO phenomenon and ghosts, communication, spiritual communication, that type of thing.
Right.
But the more I studied ufology and Bigfoot and what have you, the more I realize that there is a connection. They would see Bigfoot as a lot of people, the same time UFOs were seen.
Yes.
And vice versa. And then the big guy would disappear, and mm-hmm. the UFO would shoot up. So I saw a connection. So,
so
what about, you know, spirituality? Let's talk about ghost communication. Have you had experience in that line?
Oh, absolutely. And,
tell us about
you know, it. Let me just talk a little bit about where some of my travels have led me, because not only have I have an associate, a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate, and this is all traditional education, which it bothered me too going through. It never made sense to me why education is the way it is and the testing is the way it is. And, you know, when they teach you certain things, for instance, if I have a patient that comes into my office and they said that they can bilocate, and you know, you're not trained in medicine in your education to deal with that. What do you do with this information? Do you call every single person that comes in crazy and put them on a psych med? Or if they have a premonition of something that happens and then it does happen, it manifests, what do you do with this information? It's you're not trained to deal with it, so you have to go out on your own and do your own research to make some kind of sense of what's going on in the world other than what you've been taught. So, you know, I don't like to prescribe anything to my patients, whether it be traditional medicine or complementary modalities, unless I've personally experienced it and really checked into it. So
mm-hmm.
I always thought there was more to healing than, say, traditional medicine. So I always thought, okay, well, what about hypnotherapy? Let me dive into that and see what this is all about. And I find that it is an awesome tool and can be used for so many aspects of healing. And then also energy healing, like Reiki energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I would check into that. So I became a hypnotherapist, a Reiki master. But after a while, it's like, okay, how am I going to offer this when it takes a half hour to an hour to do this kind of healing work for people? And when you have an urgent care center and you're seeing somebody every 10 to 15 minutes and it's a busy practice, ideally, I wanted to offer my patients both and say, okay, you can either do the traditional medicine for what I know with this, or you can do a complementary medicine such as hypnotherapy or energy healing, or you can do a combination of the both. It's your choice.
Okay.
And many people actually chose the alternative rather than the traditional.
Whatever works, right?
Well, yeah, and, you know, it goes back to the placebo effect and all kinds of other things.
Mm.
But in that moment, whenever, I think it was around 2008 when I became a hypnotherapist and a Reiki master in the spring, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? And in that thought, a woman walks into my office. It was the end of the day. It was like the second to the last patient of the day. And she walks in and hands the card to my receptionist as I was walking the second to the last patient out. And I overheard her say, hey, I'm a hypnotherapist, and if your physician or your provider wants to refer anybody to me for smoking cessation, I am a hypnotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And before she had a chance to turn around and walk out the door, I says, can you give me 15 minutes? I have one more patient, and I can talk to you. So, of course, she agreed, and she sat there in the waiting room, and I saw the last patient, and we talked, and it was like I knew this woman all my life. We talked to her for like 4 hours. And it turns out that not only is she a hypnotherapist, but she's a Reiki master, and she's a psychic medium. She channels. So she's telling me things like, oh, I can automatic write. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? I've heard about this, but what do you mean? She goes, well, I'll start writing something, and all of a sudden my vision changes, and all of a sudden I just start writing. And when I come out of this state of being, I look and the writing isn't the same. The information that's coming out isn't mine. And I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. And then you do a little further research, and she's like, and also, you might think this is crazy, but I do this thing that they call spontaneous channeling. And I'll be speaking with somebody, and all of a sudden, my consciousness is kind of put to the side, and the next thing I remember is I'm walking out of a hospital, and the person's hugging me saying, oh, my God, thank you so much for being here. And I know God sent you to me, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And so to me, as being trained as a scientist with all the degrees in traditional education, I thought, wow, this would be an awesome tool to really offer my patients or to explore the universe.
Mm.
So every day at lunchtime, we would go in and explore this automatic writing and then this channeling. And the channeling led us from the astral realm, and this is what's been leading up to the answer to your question of,
okay,
have I been in the ghostly realm?
Mm-hmm.
So we channeled the ghostly realm, then we worked our way up to the angelic realm, and then the ET realm. So not only did I do the personal research from traveling all over the country and other countries, including the East Eddy Ranch and filming some of my own Phoenix Lights, which will be aired tomorrow morning on a show,
mm-hmm.
But also, I just come back from Yucatan. I was there visiting to explore this 2012. That's what we're talking about today. It just happened last week. I was there talking to the Mayan elders.
Hmm.
So I've been exploring all this, and if you don't immerse yourself in all of the things that you're interested in, you really don't get the answers. But I've had personal experience, and I've had the research that has come to me, incidentally, through my patients. And I just have to say, real quick, that as I have an urgent care center, there's people that travel all over the world, and they come to urgent care centers. So here I am in my office, and one minute I have a CIA agent, next minute I have an FBI, Homeland Security, underground base guy that they're not even supposed to exist. I have soldiers that are coming back from Afghanistan saying, you know, all that stuff you're seeing on CNN is not true. So what am I supposed to do with this information that's right before me? I can't deny it. And if I tell anybody, like my family, they thought I was crazy. Yeah. But there it is.
Yeah. I want to get a little further into that, but I need to take a moment right now to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with Joe Mara. So before the break there, we were talking about some of your patients coming in, and I know from your lectures, you stated that you've garnered a lot of your information, some might say classified information, from some of your patients at the clinic. Can you be more specific than that?
This is where you got to be a little bit careful, but I'll tell you a little story about just a couple weeks ago. I can't really, because of confidentiality and, you know, all this stuff, but what I will say is it just so happened about a few weeks ago, a sheriff brought two prisoners in from a local prison, and this sheriff, deputy, I guess he was actually, I think what they're considered deputies. Anyway, he was telling me, I'm not even sure how we got onto the subject, but he just came right out and said that he was in Iraq, I believe it was, and that they were at this one area and they were doing maneuvers or whatever, and then they came back and they're at the base, and later on that day they're watching CNN as though it's live footage that's going on in this particular area that he was at, and he was telling me that none of the things that was being portrayed on CNN and on the mainstream news was actually going on, because they were in the base. They're like, that can't be going on because we're right here. So he was saying, basically his testimony to me was that, hey, what you're seeing on TV isn't always exactly what you're being told.
Nah.
So that's to the extent that I'd like to go with, like, the real, you know, the top secret type stuff, because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, and I'm not out to do that.
Right.
Just know that the basic premise is that not everything you see you should believe, basically.
Right. I remember some of the pictures came out where they were flying some of the coffins back from Iraq, and this cargo bay was just filled with these flag-draped coffins. And they made such a big deal that they shouldn't have shown that because it's demoralizing to the American public. But you start looking at all these coffins and you start getting the considering the count that they're giving us to the, you know, giving the public as to how many were killed.
Right.
And it doesn't add up.
Right.
Which makes me think of back in Vietnam. I mean, I was in the service during Vietnam era. Mm-hmm. And people are saying, you know, there's a lot more people, a lot more Americans getting killed, a lot more soldiers getting killed than is being told the American public. And that came out when the wall, the monument in Washington, Vietnam monument in Washington came out. All of these names on it, they didn't tell us that many people were killed.
Right.
So
so this could go in all kind of other, if they're lying about one thing, or they're misrepresenting, I guess you should say, about one aspect of the war and why we're there and what we're doing there, then who knows what else? That's
right.
My basic message there is, like, you know, what else is going on?
Okay. So,
or not going on.
Okay, so some of this information you've garnered, without giving any names or specific details, does it lead you to believe, or does it lead you to know, that we're being visited by extraterrestrials or other dimensional beings?
Absolutely.
Can you be more specific there?
I'll talk to you about my personal experience.
Okay.
There's two specific, and I know this is like an hour show, so I can't really go into all kinds of different things, but there's two specific cases where I personally, with other people, witnessed what we would consider a UFO, unidentified flying object. One of which, I went to Phoenix, Arizona, to visit Cynthia Crawford, who is considered the E.T. sculptor.
Okay.
And as we're in her house, my friend Terry, who I talked about earlier, she walks past the bay window and looks out the window and says, "Oh, my God, there they are."
Hmm.
Well, we went to visit her just to visit her, Cynthia Crawford, to see, you know, what she knew about E.T.s and their energies and, you know, UFOs and all this. But we were hoping maybe we could catch a glimpse of these Phoenix lights that the different people were talking about.
Right.
So it was a shock to her that there they were. And I grabbed my camera, and I ran outside, and I have these things on footage. It's about a minute and 37 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it up until just recently, I never really released it because I was just so busy, and it became, I don't know, second nature. It was like it was no big deal to me anymore. After you see so many of these things, you're kind of numb to it. It's like, oh, yeah, there they are again.
Mm-hmm.
But the footage will be out on the Internet because I did send it to a gentleman named John Kelly out of Canada, and he has a show that goes live every morning from Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., UFO AM. And I think that you'll be able to see the archive of that footage that he slowed down, enhanced, that you can see these Phoenix lights over Phoenix.
Okay.
And then the second case was when I flew to East Seti Ranch with James Gilliland.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 30 people that was in this field. The first night we got there, we saw over 30 of these things in the air.
Now, are they just lights or are they structured crap?
What you could perceive when it was pitch black like that was light. And that's what was so impressive was you would see, you'd be looking into the night sky and you'd see all the stars, but lower down, it wasn't like right above the treetops, but, you know, maybe 1,000 feet above, these objects would come flying across real slow and just stop. And as the people that were watching would be screaming and carry on and saying, "Oh, my God," and people just started saying things like, "Power up, power up." And all of a sudden, it would get bright like a couple football fields.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just, it was almost like they would stop, respond to us, and then continue on. They would do all kind of right angles. And what was interesting was you could hear and see these fighter jets kind of deployed to go after these things. They would disappear, the jets would go by, they would reappear again. So, and a lot of this, what I'm talking about, they have footage of. Incidentally, we happened to be there when they did a documentary, and it was the map makers who did it. You can find it on YouTube if any of the listeners want to, you know, see these things further. I mean, you can see physical evidence.
All right. Yeah, so you actually saw fighter jets going after them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to say yes because this is at nighttime. You
right.
could hear it. You could see the lights blinking as though it was an aircraft.
Right.
And it sounded like a jet to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's what it was. Plus, James has all kind of footage of these. I don't know if they're F-14 or 15s. I'm not a military guy. But you can see them in formation over his ranch in the daylight.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. We've had James on this show before.
Oh, okay.
Of course, there's a lot of video footage, but we tried showing it on the radio and didn't work, you know, saying.
Yeah, I guess, huh?
So,
it's hard to describe these things.
Yeah, I know.
What you're saying.
I know. But, you know, if you see a light in the sky, you don't know what it is. Okay, it may be anything. But
right.
when these lights come across, they stop, they get brighter, and then they shoot out or shoot straight up into outer space. You know, that's not a conventional object.
No.
And chances are it's not ball lightning or something like that, especially when they're being pursued by military jets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the things that we witnessed, and right now I'm a student pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I own a Comanche 260. So I know a little bit about conventional aircraft, what it can do, what it can't do,
right.
and how fast you have to fly to just stay in flight and
right.
things like this, and the maneuvers you can make.
Right.
And these things were making maneuvers that I don't know. I mean, maybe our military is that far advanced that we just don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes back to, well, what were the people seeing before we took flight with the Wright brothers? Paintings on walls and all these other things.
Exactly. Exactly. And in fact, you know, all these biblical UFOs. Things that they describe, you know, Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel and all that. What was that, Israel's army or air force, you know, a prototype? I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
So, so have you ever had someone come into your clinic with the symptoms of radiation poisoning? And like you said, you know, what have you been doing? Have you been hanging around nuclear reactors or whatever? And they said, and they've confided in you that something dealing with the UFO phenomenon.
The closest thing that I had personally in my urgent care center that a person came in was a gentleman. He had his work clothes on, a badge, and he worked in an underground base. And these things aren't supposed to exist. Mm. So here he is with an with this badge, and he says that he's working at an underground base. And, of course, he couldn't give me too much information because he was held accountable for secrecy, of course, but right. In order for me to make a proper diagnosis, is this bacterial, is this viral, is this fungal, where are you at? So basically, he said, I work in an underground base.
Mm.
And nothing to do with radiation or anything like that. Right. He had what I diagnosed as a typical bronchitis, and I treated him for that. So as far as radiation, no, I never really had anybody that came in with that those types of symptoms or problems. Mm.
But he did work at an underground base.
Right, and just by knowing that tells me that they exist. So right. That's what I'm saying. When you put the pieces of the puzzle together, just a little bit of information out of each one of these people, I had a guy with Homeland Security sitting on the exam table and his pistol was pointing at me. I turned around and I'm sitting down at my desk and I said, what the heck are you doing in my office with that gun? And he pulls his badge out and he says, look, I work for Homeland Security. I can't, even when I'm off work, I can't leave home without this pistol. I'm not allowed to.
All right.
So, I mean, like I said, these little things that I've found over the years, like, wow, that's, okay, wait a minute. So underground bases don't exist, but here's a guy that tells me he works at one, mm-hmm. and he's a patient of mine.
Right, right.
So what do you do with this information?
Right, right, that's it. And so you've had your personal experiences with the UFO phenomenon, and the guy with the underground base, has there been anyone else that has added some more pieces to this puzzle that you know in your personal
experience? As far as the ET phenomenon, not in my office.
Okay. But. I hear a but coming here.
Well, you know, when you do this research, this is what I was talking about. This is a big story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say, you know, a couple what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
So what if ETs do exist? And they're not from our own solar system, but they're from light years away. So the first question is, how did they get here? Okay, well, we can't carry enough fuel to carry our ships or space shuttles out that far. So how did they come this far?
Mm.
And then you find out, oh, well, they have this energy system that runs their craft. And it's what we would consider free energy. Well, so if free energy does exist, and this could be utilized through all of the planet, the billionaires and trillionaires that run the world with the gold oil, or I mean, yeah, the what they call black gold, oil, now all of a sudden they're out of business because our homes can be run on free energy, our airplanes, our automobiles, our hospitals, everything.
Right.
So then all of a sudden it starts to make sense. It's like, oh, okay. So now I can see why there's a cover-up. Because right. Once this information gets out there, you know, everybody's going to start questioning, hey, we don't have to work our butts off like we are to pay these god-awful prices for fuel and oil.
Right. And
what's the pollution and what we're doing to the planet?
And we don't have to send people underground to get buried alive for
right.
coal and what have you. This can all be ours, free. But the oil barons, the energy barons of the world, they're the, you know, it seems to be the backbone of the economy.
It is.
It is.
And then you find out, when you go a little deeper into the rabbit hole, you find out, okay, well, what's connected to this? And then you find out that there's these bankers that people are signing their names to their homes, and they're going, you know, they lose their homes. And, you know, these banksters that are out there that are printing paper, and that's all it is. There's no gold to back it.
Right.
And it's actually illegal. But, you know, they're so powerful and they have so much money that if you investigate it, then, you know, you become a crackpot, and they do things to make you look like you're crazy.
Right. That's all they can do. I mean, you know,
right.
They can kill you, but there's so many of them. I believe that that's what was going on back during the days of Roswell, is that they had killed several people who were going to speak out about the crash at Roswell.
Right.
And it got so convoluted, and there were so many crashes and so many abductees, you know, we can't kill them all.
Right.
So let's just make them look like lunatics.
Exactly.
And it's like the people that are in the service now or connected with in any way, shape, or form to this UFO secret. If they come forward, you know, they threaten to cut off their pension and put them in prison and everything. But they can't. Why? Because if you say, he divulged a government secret. Well, now they're saying there is a secret to be known or to be kept. You see,
right?
So they just say, the guy's crazy.
So yeah, and you know what? Like I said, as you're talking, as I'm talking, you're finding all these other connections to this whole big. It's such a huge story, but we're talking about 2012 today,
right?
And once we're coming up to another. Planetary alignment, another cycle, another 26,500 years or whatever the exact date is.
Mm.
And so how does UFOs relate to this? And why are more and more people seeing them every day in the sky? Some people claim that it's because we have cell phones and we constantly have these cameras and video technology, whether it be iPads, iPhones, whatever, which is true. But we're also raising in a vibratory frequency and energy. Humans are the rock formations, the animals, this whole planet. Mm. As we're coming through this energetic alignment, we're going to be able to see more of these things, because the way energy works is when you're at a vibratory frequency and you raise to the next level, you can see things that you couldn't before, because you're actually at a different dimension, so to speak.
Right.
And that's why it's so hard to talk about this whole story within an hour program without explaining how you can come to the realization, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about energy? So I just can only give you over the radio here little tidbits of things. And one thing that I'd like to tell you is, you know, the visible light that we can see is so narrow within that bandwidth of energy. On the one side, with high energy, there's gamma rays and X-rays and ultraviolet. On the other side, you have infrared, microwave, and radio waves. We can't see either side of that, but that don't mean they don't exist.
That's right.
So my point is always, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
That's right. 150 years ago, you know, if you couldn't see it, it doesn't exist. But, you know, now these radio waves that, you know, you're listening to on the radio. Right now, if you turn the radio off, and I'm not suggesting you do that, where do they go? Do they just stay right in the radio? No, they're in the room right there, but they're on a different frequency, so you can't hear them. So it's amazing. So what are you saying then, that this 2012 is going to, or rather 1221, I should say, is going to be all of a sudden we're going to see into another dimension?
I think that we're doing it now, and that's what I'm getting at.
Oh.
The human being and the rest of the planet, the physicality that we all live in right now, you can't jump from A to Z. It's a slow process, and as we're each day, we keep getting these upgrades and these downloads of energy that we can't perceive. But remember, we only use 3 to 5% of our DNA. And 8 to 10% of our brain. So what's the rest for? So a lot of people have to go by religion in order to get behind some of this information.
Hmm.
So if you look at Jesus, he was showing us our highest potential. He even said, you will do these things and greater things.
Right.
So basically, he was showing us, humanity, this is your highest potential. This is my personal belief, and I was a Catholic for a long time. So I don't believe that he was trying to be the Savior. He's like, look, follow me. What he was saying is, you can be exactly like me. You will do what I do and greater things.
Mm-hmm. So how does the December 21st date fit into that? I mean, is it a date of demarcation? Does the Mayan calendar and all these other predictions about that date have anything to do with, like today it begins, today the switch is turned on, or what?
It's like a calendar, like our own calendar. And when we flip the page, what's there? What's your next potential? What can you do with your day? We're all co-creators in this thing called life.
Right.
And the Mayans, they have this calendar that is somewhere around, say, 26,500, but it goes way beyond that. I just come back from the Mayan civilization, and what they're saying is it's not the end of the world. It's nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, it just seems to me that it's a focal point in time, and it's a chance for humanity to reach its highest potential in that particular moment, because you have all these things that are coalescing at the same time, such as the planetary alignment. And as we go through this galactic plane or this galactic center that everybody, the scientists, talk about, the energies get higher and higher and higher until you reach that pivotal point of 12, 21, 12. And at that moment, wherever you are on your spiritual path, whatever you've done up to that particular point, and, again, this is a big story. There are many people on this planet at different levels of spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe is we're spiritual beings living out a human experience. And we live thousands of lives. So if you don't ascend, like everybody's like, oh, what if I don't ascend? What about my family? What about my kids? You know what? We're all spiritual beings living out a human experience. And just because they're your children don't mean that they are a younger soul, so to speak.
No.
This is where you were talking about spirituality.
Right.
Well, this is where it comes in.
Mm-hmm. Every soul is different. The son can be an older soul than the father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. But right. People don't look at it that way. They look at chronologically, like, okay, well, my son is younger, so therefore I'm responsible for him, and I got to try to bring him with me to this ascension process. But it's akin to being in first grade, learning 1+1, and trying to skip from that to, say, college algebra. If you don't have the basis, Your higher self or your spiritual self knows that it's not time for you to ascend. You wouldn't do it.
And by ascend, you mean advance spiritually?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So basically, that's what's going on this 2012 year that we're going through right now. It's a spiritual process. We're spiritual beings living out a human experience, and it's a choice. Another variable is we live in this third dimensional realm that's hot, cold, good, bad, up, down. Well, there's love and there's fear. But without opposition, there's no growth. And people look at, oh, that's the bad guy, and we focus on that. Well, you know what? Without that person being there, you can't grow.
Mm.
And because we live thousands of lives or millions of lives, if we so choose, guess what? You were the bad guy a couple years ago or a couple lifetimes ago.
Right.
We all play that part.
Right.
And therefore, there's no judgment. And that's another thing that Jesus was teaching us. Unconditional love. Don't judge another person. You don't know where they've been. You don't know where they are on their journey. Love them. If they don't suit you and where you're at, move away from them. Go to other people that ring true to your reality, your love vibration, if you will.
Right. I need to take another break, just a couple seconds, to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM. Station Making Waves out of Henry Ford Community College here in Dearborn, Michigan. And it's 89.3 FM on your radio and WHFR.FM on your computer. So I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with Mr. Joseph Mara. And once again, we're talking about the December 21st, 2012 end date for the calendar. I don't know. I don't think it's an end date, but a beginning date for us, don't you?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So this is the transition date, in other words, where nothing specific, nothing you can put your finger on is going to happen.
I don't think anybody knows what will happen on this day because it's never occurred before. I think it's a high potential. We look at time in a linear fashion, you know, like Monday through Friday or you know, 5 o'clock to 5:30. Everything has to be so linear, but really, if you look at time, you can almost look at it as though it's a wound rope with little strings that go off with that have various potentials. And I think that we incarnate into each life with a mission or a contract, some people call it, but you incarnate to help yourself and help everybody that you incarnated with within that lifetime for the purpose of spiritual growth.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
Mm.
So it's all about potential, and we also have free will. So while we're here, we have the freedom to choose who we're going to marry or if we want to have several children or, you know, it's in the moment, in the now, is our highest potential.
Right. Let me read a paragraph from an article I found at StocktonHealthHubPages.com. Okay, and it's entitled "What Does the Mayan Calendar Really Tell Us?" And this is a quote now: "On December 21st, 2012, from pre-dawn through the day till just before sunset, the sun will be between the Earth and the galactic plane, representing a rebirth of the sun moving from one world to another. This event occurs on the winter solstice once every 26,000 years. Could this be the reason for the calendar ending on that date? I think so. The Mayans' life was tied to the movements of the planets and stars, and to us that might not be anything but an interesting celestial occurrence, but to the Mayans it was a life-changing event. It would not only be the end of one world, but more importantly the beginning of the new world. And think how we celebrate the coming of a new year, and you can better understand the importance of the date to the Mayans," end quote. Now, even if this is all the Mayans' end date means, it begs the question, where did the ancient Mayans garner their knowledge of the stars and galactic movements? Did they have help?
They would have to have. I mean, I was just there, and they're still, they live in straw huts, and they live off of the land or in the jungle. So, you know, there's no possible way they could have constructed these pyramids as high and as big and as accurate, and they're still standing to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no possible way.
No. Yeah, look at all our man-made structures are from way back when and falling to the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Even the Roman Colosseum.
Yeah.
It was pretty much in shambles.
Yep,
you know?
That's it.
But these things like the Sphinx, the Pyramid of Giza, Mayan pyramids, how did they build them? You know, it's still a question. You feel then that it's the beginning of spirituality, a date of reckoning, so to speak.
Well, you know, you hear in the Bible of revelations and all these things, and I think that's what the times we're in right now. Revelations means nothing more than the revealing or the unveiling. And I think that all the things that we just talked about, how we've been controlled by oil and by these banksters that run the planet and all this kind of stuff, all of this stuff is coming out right now if you look and you are open-minded and you just take a look. And between now and December 21st, I really think a lot of stuff is going to hit the fan, so to speak, and you're going to see some things that are going to be just totally shocking. One of which, what if they do come out and say, hey, we're not alone? To those who were in the know or like you are putting out this information about UFOs and, you know, some people do believe in it.
Right.
They're not going to be as shocked as someone that their paradigm is all about religion and that's who they've been for 60, 70 years of their life, and they're not open-minded.
Hmm.
I mean, that can just shatter your whole paradigm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I've said this on the show before. The polls show that, like, 15%, it may be 5%, I forget, but an incredible number of people who were asked the question, if undeniable proof were presented tomorrow that we're not alone in the universe, they wouldn't believe it anyway.
Yes.
You know?
And that goes back to your level of awareness, and you have free will to choose whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. And you know what? There's no judgment. If you want to be in that arena, that's fine. You go off on your little world, and you do your thing, whereas other people will go do their thing. And it's no different than me becoming a pilot and I have no idea about how to fly a plane. Now I know that you have to almost be a meteorologist because you got to know what weather you're going to be flying into, which before that genre never even thought about it. So the more you focus on certain aspects of reality within your life is what you draw to yourself because you just research it and you just weren't otherwise aware of it.
That's right. That's right. So tell us a little bit about your radio show. When is that on? Where is that on?
Well, I used to have a radio show called Universal Talk.
Oh,
and this is another way that I've gained a lot of knowledge. I interviewed people all over the planet, whether it be South Africa, Michael Tellinger, he's talking about these structures. He calls it Adam's calendar. And he found that these structures are made that harness the energy from the Earth, and they can actually measure the resonance in these locations. And these things are dated 150,000 years ago, when in Christianity they tell us that if God created the Earth in the 7 days and all that, it's like humans should be between 5 and 10,000 years old.
Right.
But all this archaeological evidence is proving that we're so much older than that.
Yeah.
So that's one person. Another scientist and astronaut from Ecuador, he talks about free energy. So if you go to universaltalk.info, all of these are free. They're up on my website, and you can listen to it, to the experts themselves, and you can find out what's really going on the planet. I currently don't do it anymore. I created a new radio talk show called A Guiding Light, L-I-T-E, and I haven't done a radio show for a while because of my own personal journey within the past few months. I mean, this is 2012, and quite frankly, you know, even though I'm doing some of these interviews here, like yourself is interviewing me to get the information out, I am on my own personal journey as well.
Right. Well, you just said you just got back from the Mayan community.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty warm there, right?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was 80s and sunny and no wind, and the waters were just beautiful in Cancun.
So were you vacationing or were you garnering information over there?
Both. I said, how can I kill two birds with one stone here?
Well, I've did a little bit of study for an hour. I think I'll go to the beach.
That was it.
I got your
We had to travel at least an hour away to get into the jungle where the Mayans were and to talk to some of the elders and these types of things. But, you know, it was all geared around vacation at the same time, like
Right. So were you able to go into these pyramids?
No. Actually, we climbed on top of – it was the biggest – we went to a site. There's several of them. There's Chichen Itza and some of the other famous ones. But one of the ones that was just – discovered within the past 20 years, I believe. And there are thousands of these things. They just haven't been excavated. And as you're walking up to these pyramids, as you look to your right and your left, there's these big piles. They look like a pyramid shape, but because the jungle has taken them over, they would need to be excavated. And I'm sure there's treasures to be found, maybe not gold, but just treasures of information within these things.
Artifacts, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. So why don't they do it? Or is it just the natives there and they don't have the technology to do it?
Well, first of all, you'd have to say, what would their interest be in doing it? They just live out of the jungle and do their thing, and it's probably not important to them because they already believe in the calendar and their belief systems now. The other thing would be, you know, the government would have to foot the bill to do that.
Right.
And I don't know that their government is really that interested in discovering these types of things.
Okay. So now, do the Mayans talk about the star people and still talk about, you know, people coming down from the sky and giving them information?
You know, the current ones that I talked to, we didn't get into that part of it because it was more based on the calendar because this is the year 2012.
Right.
But in my past research, yes, that's what they talk about.
Mm-hmm. So
and here's another thing. When we were there, they speak Mayan. And some of them speak a little bit of Spanish and some of them real little English. So to get the proper translation of what they're saying, and we were only there for like a few days, so I mean, you would truly have to be there, do some research, and get a good guide and a good linguist that could interpret the information you want to gather.
Mm.
And I'm funding all this, all my own research, just for myself. You know, I don't have anybody backing me. I'm just personally going out and doing it.
So does it seem like when they talk about these star people and what have you coming down, giving them information and the calendar, did they say that the calendar was designed by the star people, or they were helped by the star people to
design?
That's
what it appears to be. Yes.
Okay. All based on galactic movement.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did they know about it? They didn't have telescopes.
Exactly.
You know. Did they offer any information on how they knew about that? Other than the star people told
them? No. And how else would they? I mean, that's a good enough explanation to me. When they say the star people came, I'm like, well, how could you possibly predict a solar eclipse 500 years ahead of your time?
Right.
I mean, and they were doing this. So if you're on the planet, how do you know there are these other planets like Sirius and all these other things that are out there you can't physically see?
Right, right.
Without telescopes, and even if you did, you wouldn't know what you're... These people are in the jungle. They were using primitive tools to this day.
Right. What does mainstream science, Western science, have to say about their knowledge of the, for example, when was it, the 1990s, late 1989, when the eclipse occurred where they saw, in Mexico City, they saw all these UFOs in the sky and videotaped them. But
you know what?
It was predicted in the Mayan calendar.
Yeah. You know, I'm not familiar exactly with what the day and those sightings, but generally speaking, I think all the governments are involved in this. And I think that, you know, one plays off the other, and there's some kind of responsibility that if one would come out, then there's, who knows, they may be saying something like, okay, well, we're going to have... stricter trade sanctions, or you won't be able to trade with us. You don't. I don't know the behind the scenes. It doesn't make sense.
No.
All these people have videos of these unidentified flying objects. You call into the local air base. They don't see them on radar. They say that's not theirs, but they won't comment on what they are. They'll say, well, we don't see them.
Right.
We have no comment on what they are.
Right.
Well, you would think, in the name of Homeland Security, I mean, that's what they claim everything else they're doing for tapping, you know, phones and everything else. You'd think that would be something. If something's in your airspace, like in 1952 or somewhere in the 50s when they flew over the Capitol and they scrambled the jets and they couldn't do anything about it,
right.
You would think that would be pretty significant.
Yes. And they say the Air Force doesn't even investigate. Well, after 9/11, you call in and you say, there's this object in the sky. You're going to sit back and say, oh, we don't investigate that anymore. What are you talking about? You better investigate it, right?
Right.
Right. Joe Morrow, where can people go to, where can our listeners go to check out your work?
Well, I have two websites. One is Universal Talk, and it's universaltalk.info. And then I have another website called A Guiding Light, L-I-T-E, .com. And you could email me at universaltalking@gmail.com.
Universal Talk at say it again.
Universal Talking okay. @gmail.com.
universaltalking@gmail.com. Okay, very good. Okay, Joe, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and may you have the happiest of holidays, and good luck on December 21st.
Hey, good luck to you, and you know what? I think it's going to be a great day for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the end of anything. I don't think it's doom and gloom. I think it's all positive. And when we were talking about the dualistic thing earlier,
right?
Also energetically we were talking. So the more attention you pay towards the negativity, that's what your experience is. You're drawn to yourself. So my message would be, why not focus on the positive, especially going into these days when, as we're coming into alignment with the galactic center, the more you think about it, you're going to see more synchronicities. And the message is this: the more positive you can be, the more positive stuff you attract to yourself.
Excellent. Thank you, Joe Mara.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And to our listeners, I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and the best of the new year. And now for my own personal prediction of December 21st, 2012. Now, don't hold me to it because I may be wrong, but my prediction is it will snow. Nothing more dramatic. But, of course, if I'm wrong, goodbye. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on the forum button on the homepage. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, ufoimplications.com. Please stay tuned to whfr.fm, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. I certainly hope that I'll be talking with you again the first Tuesday of January and each month thereafter at 1 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. Until then, I'm David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
Listening to WHFR Dearborn.
On the rock.